Kenneth Webster, and I just turned 22 in December.
And your major?
Graphic design major.
Hometown?
Detroit, Michigan.
You always lived there?
I lived there from birth. My parents just moved recently, just this past Christmas.
Brothers and sisters?
Four brothers, no sisters. Kind of interesting.
The occupations of your mother and father?
My father's retired just recently. He was a computer analyst for Hudson's, and my mother's working part-time as bank teller right now.
If you could just describe generally your hometown.
Okay. I was born in Detroit, Michigan. I've lived there all my life. It's in the city, not downtown, but I've lived there for 22 years. I've seen it change quite a bit. When I was younger, the street was right off Main Mile Road, and it was nice. There's a gas station down on the corner, restaurant right two houses down from us. That's changed over quite a bit since it's been there. When I was younger, the entire street was covered by elms, and it was quite nice in the summertime. The street itself was completely shaded. As time went on, it changed a lot. The neighborhood kind of declined. People that lived there, most of them were older. Their children had grown up and moved away, and it was just the husband and wife, and they started moving out. The cleanliness or whatever of the neighborhood started to decline. The shade from the trees was eliminated because of disease. The gas station on the corner was torn down and made into a party store. The restaurant was switched over four or five different times from owners. A lot of the houses that people moved out of were just boarded up and abandoned. Windows were broken out. It declined a lot. It was really too bad.
How about the ethnic breakdown of the neighborhood? What were the neighboring ethnic
breakdown? I don't mean to sound like a bigot or prejudiced. When I was younger, it was pretty much strictly an all white neighborhood, and like I said, the first people to move out were the elderly people. They moved out, and most of the people that moved in were black families. I remember the people that lived next door to us, an old couple. They moved out, and a husband, wife, and their son. He was about a year older than me, I believe. They moved in. It was a black family. They're a great family. I got along with them. He was my friend in my younger days. And then.
But if you go back a little bit, what was the ethnic breakdown? I mean, your family and those who lived with you, is this essentially Anglo-Saxon, Polish? What?
Majority French Canadian. I'd say probably about 50% is French Canadian. We have relatives that are over in Canada. Kind of a mongrel, I guess you'd say. There's some German, there's some Irish, a little Scottish, but no
any
really.
Any particularly strong memories that you have from that time? That if you could talk a little bit about what your hopes were in those early days.
Well, when I was little, I was a TV child. I watched a lot of TV. The weekends, certain time the day would roll around, and I'd watch the Sir Graves ghastly monster movie films, and that kind of got me interested in films in particular. I wanted to, when I originally started out, I was really interested in working with makeup in with film, and that progressed into a sideline, I guess you'd say, and I concentrated mostly on or I thought more of just working with films, and then I thought of acting. I had a stage of I want to be a stuntman, and I guess the idea of working with makeup, the artistic creative idea, resubmerged. I never wanted to be a pro athlete or anything. Through grade school, I just took the standard math classes and whatever. Into high school, I got into more artistic aspects.
Meaning
I started, well, in my grade school, they never had the drawing classes. Anything that was done, you'd have little, maybe, times where you could go draw. High school, you had the drawing classes, the ceramics classes. Even my high school was kind of small, so I didn't have a wide range, but I did get some exposure, and I did well. I got compliments on my work, and I put the idea of an artistic talent toward a practical use into effect. And
how did you do that?
Well, I figured I didn't want to be a starving artist. I mean, I didn't want to just do things that you know, they might be pleasing. I wanted to have something I could apply and, you know, make a living off of. That's, to me, that is kind of too unstable. There's no guarantee with that. I wanted to look at getting into a job where I could apply my artistic ability and still be able to, you know, make money consistently.
Did you try that at that young age? Were you trying to sell your works?
No, not until recently have I sold anything. I'm the kind of person that if I do something and I like it, and someone else likes it, I'll say, go ahead and take it. That was my attitude, because I've always considered that, you know, I can do it again. And it's usually to a friend or whatever. Just recently, I've done work for a radio station, and I've been talking to a friend of mine who's same artistic lines, and he's got a freelance license. I've been talking to different people about services rendered, you know, and standard fees and stuff like that.
But can you talk a little more explicitly about your ultimate decision to do something in graphic arts? I mean, there you are in high school, you've gotten a few good grades in some of the art classes, mm-hmm. But still, there's a big leap from that to now I'm going to go to college.
Oh, yeah.
And major in art.
It's definitely a big transition. I guess when I first applied here, I was looking for I applied for a commercial art, whatever degree. And they said, well, that would be under the lines of graphic design. So when I first entered, I just wanted to find out what it was all about, basically. And then as I went along, as I took the classes, I discovered it applied mostly to like an advertising, to applying to the mass public, you know, something that would catch their attention. And I liked to create things, the certain things that would be projected to the mass audience, you know, and catch their feedback and see whether they liked it or didn't like it.
Did you ever have the debate in your mind that perhaps you should pursue fine art, the starving artist route? Was that ever seriously in your mind?
No. One of the... I don't know, this might be a very negative attitude. I don't consider myself that creative. As far as sitting down and like working with paints, I've had the drawing classes, but just doing something that more abstract that I just sit down and like, I don't know, I feel it has to have some kind of practical use, and that attitude may be limiting me. I don't know.
Well, you must be going to school with people in this department who have a stronger drive in the fine arts direction.
Oh, yes, definitely. There are certain things that I would do that I find pleasing and I would never sell. I've just done a work recently that I'm very pleased with, and I would never sell it.
What is your perception of the commercial world of art that awaits you in terms of working with clients, pressures, the possibility of retaining full employment, etc.?
Well, like I said, my idea is that you're basically catering to a client's needs. They tell you what they want, and then you present them with your ideas, and they tell you whether or not they'll like them or what they want changed.
It sounds like you're clear about your direction. You have a, at least within the art field, you want to mm-hmm. clearly pursue something within the commercial art line, and you acknowledge the client's ultimate supremacy.
Right.
I mean, he's the one who decides the five choices you give him.
Right.
You can try and weasel him a little bit, but eventually he pays the bills and makes the selection. And you're here to train yourself to do that.
Right.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. I'm here to. I've learned quite a bit, as far as the process of creating something. I mean, you can't learn to be creative, really. You can learn all the tools and whatever materials that aid you in creating something. But as far as sitting down and being able to come up with something in your head, that's a gift. The tools, the things I've learned here have definitely helped me present the ideas.
So when you came to college, you've stuck with the art line ever since.
Right. I came in here with freshman year. They asked for a major, and I just wrote down graphic design, and I've stuck with that ever since. I've been pleased with what I've learned.
Never a doubt as to whether you should hop to another field.
No, I've never been the one that would want to sit at a desk. Like, I've never been the engineering type. I've never wanted to bang out formulas and, you know, come up with solutions like that. I've wanted to do something that pleases me, hence the artistic thing, and I wanted to have a practical use of it.
So in a way, you really typify the student who has an understanding of his direction.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
People go through this pattern of graduating. I assume you went right into college out of high school.
Right.
But so you're in the pattern in a way. You've gone from high school to college, and then the next stop is possibly the selection of a place to work within the graphic arts field, and then
right.
Hopefully you get married, and then you have the 2.7 kids.
And the nuclear
told
family.
Me the other day, you're part of the plastic nuclear family,
yeah.
Which is an expression I had never heard of before.
Yeah.
Where does that come, plastic nuclear
family? I don't know. I guess they're basically saying you're fitting into a mold, and it's not really a mold that I would choose. If it happens, it happens. I'm going to live my life the way I want to.
Well, anyway, talk about that pattern and the extent to which you would like or would not like to conform to it.
Okay, well, as far as the first part, I've already conformed. I've gone straight to college from high school. I graduate next year. I'll be working on preparing myself to go out into the business world. But as of late, I've considered about going on to graduate school too, maybe after a time out in the professional world. If it proves to be not what I want, or just that I need more training, then I will definitely think about graduate school. The money for that is an aspect. But I'd like to, if I do get in a job, I'd like to get a job where I could support myself and, you know, treat myself to certain luxuries, have more than one car, have a sporty car, a nice house, you know, live in the suburbs somewhere, get married, raise a family. I'd like to be able to live comfortably, be able to make a comfortable life for my family. That's something. It's both graduate school and family life is something I've contemplated within the last couple of years. I had never really thought about it before. But I guess I'm coming down to the point where it will be facing me soon, and I have to make those decisions.
You're a junior now.
I just turned senior, but I won't finish until the end of next year.
Would you want to run your own graphic art shop?
I'd like to. Right now, I don't think I have not intelligence, but I just don't know enough about it to run it. I would like to run my own business. You know, I'd like to maybe start off with a small one and build to quite a large one, but that's down the road. I still have a lot of learning to go through.
It's another world too, the world of business and administration.
True. Yeah, I would have to take management and business classes, or if I was able to be exposed through a job. Working in graphics, if I was able to be exposed and learn the business, I guess, as an on-hand training or you know, first-hand.
Well, what activity in the graphic arts field, what gives you the most pleasure? I mean, if you had 8 hours a day, how would you, and you had to work, and you took into consideration what has given you the most pleasure from various types of work, can you describe for me what would you do?
As far as working for a client, I guess my ideal is I would like someone, a major corporation, to come to me or whatever, where I'm working for, and say, we're looking for a new look, or we need a new logo design, and I'd like to be able to be the one to do that. Something that would just get national publicity, and I could say, you know, I did that. That would be really fantastic.
Just, but can you talk a little bit about the process itself, which you may or may not like? What is it? Is it the physical act of going through 25 different preliminary sketches to come up with this logo? I mean, is that where you lose all track of time?
Yeah. I guess it's, I don't do a lot of different things, like for one, like to say a logo design. I do a few select things, but when I work, I get my idea, and I work it out to the best of my abilities, and if I like it, the idea, I usually stick with it, and I will change it. But and then if it's not accepted, then I don't take that in a negative way. It's just that's not what they're looking for. Being able to physically render it, I guess, is, and just have something that comes out very clean, very precise, that is a major part of what I enjoy. And then I guess it being accepted and produced is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, and the that I'm just swinging around here so I get a little better angle on the mic. You're fine.
Right.
The Division of Student Affairs prepared a student profile in '87, and in a question to the undergraduates, it asked if the students desire improvement in the following areas: the ability to listen to others, etc., etc., etc. 50% of the students said they needed no improvement in these areas. What is your reaction to that?
I think they're liars. I think more than 50% of the people would, well, it also deals with their perceptions. They might be comfortable with where they're at. I think a lot of people, as far as, for example, ability to give and receive love or to get along with others, some people just are out for themselves. You touched on this with an earlier question, is sort of the me generation. And others aren't one of their main concerns. They don't care how they come off to others. They just want what they want. They want to get what they want. And other people don't really enter into the pictures, apart for a means to get an end, I guess.
I would like to actually interview a student like that.
I know.
Could I ever find a student who would admit what you have described?
It's very rare that you find someone that would admit to that. I ran into in another class, I ran into someone who actually admitted to that, and I was kind of shocked. It was a girl, and she said that she initially, her dreams, her initial dreams were that she just wanted to marry some guy rich, I mean, completely materialistic. And she said she's changed her view, but it's definitely a strong underlying theme.
She may take someone who's slightly less than rich, and
she took a slight cut in pay there, however you want to put it. But it, I was kind of shocked that she actually admitted that. Being that way and admitting it are two different things. I guess I can show a little more respect for someone who can admit it.
So this questionnaire, what is this? The cockiness of youth coming out? Is it the front? Is it the need to say, hey, yeah, I can pull it off?
Hey, I'm important. You know, I guess it is. I'm better than everyone else. Or I guess just to be... to be important. I mean, you see it as in through school to be popular is the big thing, and you know, some people will do almost anything to achieve that.
Even at the college level, I associate that with high school more than I do college. But are you saying that that is also very true at in college?
Yeah, I'd say it's true in college. Some people might be up here to, I don't know, it's a bad attitude, I guess I'd say. I've heard of girls or guys that come up here looking for a husband or wife that they can, you know, I guess not really sponge off, but as not coming up here to work on a career, as to just find someone, I guess, for later life.
I think this is more important depending on your sex. Be careful, you may have to...
I may have to back this
you
up.
You may have to play this back to your wife 10 years from now.
Yeah. Well, it seems... I don't mean to sound bad in any... I don't mean to raise any hairs here. I think the majority of the male population up here are working for their career. I know there's a large majority of the women, too. I think there's more women right now. I know it's changing. There's more women up here than men that are looking for something other than a career.
I'll test your knowledge.
Okay.
Who do you think has the higher grade point averages, the men or the women?
Well, I've seen figures that there are more males with a higher grade point average. Or I could be wrong.
That's wrong.
Is it?
The female students are better in terms of grade point averages. Of course, they may be doing it to impress their future husband. Sorry.
This could be.
My wife didn't hear that either.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah, you know, you're in college, you absorb tons of information in terms of quantity, you know?
Yeah.
But you apparently have been able to relate that to your particular goal, which is graphic arts. What do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, my first 2 years up here is, like the majority of the students up here, you're being exposed to your natural sciences, your social sciences, things that, for me, they didn't really apply to what I was here for. I don't really regret taking the classes. I did learn some things, but and I'm sure it's helped me as to be a little bit more intellectual and just have a broader range of knowledge. I don't think they're bad, but I don't think they should weigh as heavy as what you're actually here for. I mean, I'm not saying people that come in here knowing what they want to do shouldn't have to take those classes. I think they're a good idea, but a lot of it was kind of like a rehash from high school. Some of the things I've learned already, and I think my time and money could be used to learn things that I've never encountered before.
Why didn't you pick a standard art school?
That was a question to me. My high school was a small school, and I talked to my counselor about choices, and she never really question what I wanted to go into. I told her that I was considering Michigan State University, and she had gone there, so I guess she had a bias for that. She said it's a good school, you know. I should apply for it. And then I've talked to people that they said they have a good arts program, a good graphics program. I've talked to people that were my freshman year when I was up here. I talked to people that were involved in it. I've learned on my own that there are certain things that they don't have that I would like to be exposed to. That's another reason why I've considered graduate school, is to get that exposure. Because I'd like to have some knowledge of certain things before I enter the job market and have to learn them right there, you know, on the spot. I'd like to have a basic idea. A lot of the stuff that I've covered, for instance, social science class, that dealt more with politics than anything else. A lot of it I will never apply. I think that might have been a mistake on my part in taking a certain instructor, because every instructor teaches differently. They teach a different idea. But I know of one particular class that I took that I really don't think I got anything out of it. And I can't say that that I didn't make a mistake in taking it.
In all this madness to get an education, do you see a humorous side to it all? I mean, when 10 years from now, you're going to look back and be capable of remembering the lighter sides? What have they been? Water fights in the dorms or what?
Yeah.
Can you describe some of that?
Yeah. freshman year up here, I roomed blind, and I didn't know anyone that was attending school up here. I was the only one from my my high school that attended Michigan State University. So I moved into a room with three people I didn't know. And one of them was, he was a junior, had lived in that same room, I guess, the year before. And then the other two had come from a school, and they knew each other. And we got along great, but the one roommate who had lived there the previous year knew some girls that were on our sister floor. And they are a great bunch, but we got into a prank war. And we had the water fights, and we had planned some really harmless but kind of nasty stuff.
Please
elaborate on
yes,
that.
I'm fascinated.
I don't even remember how it started off. My one roommate had gone home for the weekend, and he came up with a bag full of leaves, and a garbage bag full of leaves, and we were like, "What are you doing with those?" And he said he wanted to get into their room and just scatter them everywhere. And and the idea of doing it with a bag of flour came up. We had eggs tossed. We had one, I'm completely proud of this moment. We had this one moment where we had an earlier water fight. And we had gotten the worst of it, so we wanted to get them back. So I forget what the reason was. So we called them and invited them down to our room for some reason. And I had planned this entire thing. We were right, our room was first floor right on the stairwell. And we had our bike room where everyone kept their bikes that was in between, or on the other side, the opposite side of our room. And we invited them down, and they came down, and one guy was in the bike room with a bucket of water, and the other guy was in the stairwell. So they were walking down to our room, and as soon as they passed the bike room, the guy stepped out with the bucket and just doused them. And they made a break for the stairwell to run away, and that's what I figured they would have done. We were on the first floor. It's easy to get away. And as soon as they opened the door, the other roommate doused the front of them with another bucket of water. So our hallway was flooded, and someone else came out with a bag of flour to try to throw on them, and it ended up getting all over the hall instead. And they had come down with eggs, so eggs were thrown, and it made a nice paste in the hall, and we had to clean it up.
What dorm is this in?
That was in Acres Hall, in West Acres, in 84.
Were you disciplined?
Yeah. Yeah, we had gotten a shop vac, a wet dry vac, so we soaked up all the water and we cleaned it up as much as we could, and then we got a notice in our mailbox about the cost that they were charging us to clean the carpet and everything else. And then we had a little meeting with our resident director on how pranks get out of hand, I guess. And I guess we did. But it was harmless fun. No one was upset by it.
Well, you started to tell me one where you came into a room with a bag of leaves. Did you ever follow through with that?
That backfired. The girls came down into our room for something, and my one roommate was there. I think he was the only one there. And he ran down to the lobby to get something, and they saw the bag of leaves. And they ripped it open and threw it all over our room. And so we came back, and they were in the midst of throwing leaves all over the place. So we grabbed one of them and threw her in the shower and doused her with cold water, and someone grabbed a can of shaving cream, and we just made it a really bad mess in our room. Our room was flooded, and leaves all over the place.
Well, throwing young ladies in showers certainly has a certain charm to it, doesn't it?
It was the first thing that came to mind, I guess. It was just kind of like a retaliation.
Were there any fights that broke out in the dorm? Any bodies hurling through the air into the wallboard or something?
No, not that I ever saw. Nothing on our floor, anyway. Everyone was pretty. They got along pretty well. There was a couple people I didn't get along with. I guess not living with them anymore, or not living on the same floor with them. I see them around campus, and I'm decent to them, and they're decent to me. But there was really no.
Do you feel as if you as if your contact with a lot of different people at the university level has helped in any way? Have you learned anything
Oh,
from that?
definitely. You might come up here with certain stereotypes, and when I came up here, I know quite a large or not majority, a large portion of the students up here are foreign, and that was, I mean, some of them have come straight over from their countries to go to school here, and that was something new to me. I didn't look down at that as being bad or anything. It was just something different, and I've met quite a few different people, and it helps you beat out the stereotypes. Like you might have, like for me back home, maybe picked up certain stereotypes, and you come out here and you find they might apply, but to some people. But basically, people are individuals. I met a lot of great people in the dorms, and I had a lot of fun. It's up here, freshman year dorms are mandatory, and you have to live in the dorms up until there's a certain credit amount that you have to have. I know some people that transfer in, say after their sophomore year at a 2-year college, they're not required to live in the dorms, but my freshman year up here, I was required to live in the dorms, and I still talk and see my roommates, and seeing people, running into people that were on my floor that I met in the dorms, it usually ends in a humorous note. We wind up talking about some of the stuff we did together at certain parties, or what we got away with, or things like that. They're out, like as far as I might know what I want to do. But I see people that, for instance, there's a guy in my class, my graphics class. He's going to school right now. I believe he's around my age, and he's working at an advertising agency, part time. I know other people that have worked for magazines while they're going to school. Something that's job related. I consider that a big plus. I mean, I might know what I want to do. I guess you could say they're one step up on me, because they're actually doing something that's related, that they can use as experience.
You could have done that, though. I mean, I'm not
No,
saying that assertively. I'm saying that's really a question. Could you have worked in part-time work with a local agency, for example?
well, last summer I applied, MSU, the state news, actually. I applied as a layout artist, I believe it was classification, for the newspaper. And I talked to the girl who was working there at the time, and I had her in my class, and she said it. She was the one who said I should apply for it, because she thought, she saw my work, and she thought I'd do really well in it. And so I went and interviewed, and they had chosen someone who had a little bit more experience in marketing.
That leads to another question, really, and that is, you have one understanding or perception of your talents and intelligence when you're in high school, and another one after a year or so of college. And how would you describe your reappraisal, or if you had one? Maybe you didn't have a reappraisal of how you fit in terms of what your contemporaries were doing.
Well, like I said, I went to a small high school, and I was within the top two best, I guess, artists in the school. And coming up here with that attitude, it changed drastically, where you're in a class with 15, 16 other people that were tops in their school. So I've definitely encountered people that are just extremely talented. And it's come down to it's a challenge to me that I look at them, I guess, to motivate myself, I look at them as competition. And I'd like to be as good as, if not better than them. I guess I got that attitude in high school, is I was the best, and then when I came up here and I wasn't, I wanted to get back there. I wanted to be back on top.
Have you seen other students frightened away by that increased level of competition? You know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Just saying that, you know, well, it's too much competition.
And then either switch majors or...
In some aspects. I know my roommate was very, very smart in high school, and he came up here in the engineering program, and he now, I believe, he's in management or business. It just proved to be too much for him to handle, because my other roommate, these are from freshman year, my roommates, went to the same school as the other one, and he was a little bit more, I guess, intelligent as far as working out the problems. And he's stuck with it, and he's going on with engineering. I don't know. He saw that the one that his friend could do it, and he couldn't. He might have said, you know, well, you know, maybe I'm not that smart, or it's just not for me. I know there are a lot of people that come up here with big dreams, and they realize that it's some of their dreams. It's a lot of hard work, and they either don't want to commit themselves to that work, or they just can't.
I had the same problem. I started off in engineering, and after 2 years, couldn't hack it.
Right. See, I came up here with the idea that I didn't want to go into engineering, because I'd taken all the math classes in grade school, high school. I'd gone up to pre-calculus in high school, and I did not enjoy it. I mean, I took it for my own, I guess, for my own benefit to help me get into school, to a college, but when I got up here, I just said, you know, that's not for me.
Okay, let's wrap it up, but I have just one last question.
Okay.
As I said earlier, I will make a transcript of this. I'm going to do this with every person I interview, and we'll send you a copy of it, and hopefully you'll keep it.
Oh, but yeah.
What do you want to say to yourself now? What do you want to say now that you want to hear 10 years from now? That's sort of off the wall philosophically, I suppose, but is there some message, some point of view that you want to express that you'd like to look back 10 years from now and say, hey, I did say that. Maybe it's good and maybe it's bad, but I said it.
Well, I guess right now I'd like to say right now I feel that I'm maybe have doubts in how far I can go right now as far as a job, I guess mainly a job. I mean, that's what I'm up here working for, is to educate myself so I can apply myself to that. I guess I have doubts. I'd really like to see how well I could do. I mean, I'd like to be able to look back on this and say, here was someone who wasn't sure if he could, you know, cut out in the real world. I mean, I'm definitely going to try. I'd like to be able to listen to this and be happy that I did, you know, make it with all these doubts.
And making it means, you could sum that up.
Just, I guess, being secure in a job where I can, I mean, I hate to say that money is a major aspect, but I'd like to be able to have an income where I could spend money on myself and not worry about constantly saving. I mean, that's what I'm doing right now, right through school. I've been doing it since my junior year in high school. I've had a job, and I've been constantly putting money back, and I've been limiting myself, like things that I might want to buy. And I just couldn't do it because I was constantly thinking, no, I've got that money could be put towards school. I'd like to be out of that. I'd like to be able to see something that I'd like, you know. I'd like to be secure enough financially that I could say, you know, well, you know, maybe I'll go buy it.
What have you been working as or doing to support?
Well, right now I'm working in sales at a clothing store. It's totally unrelated. I enjoy it. It's not bad. I've just done a lot of odd jobs. I work full-time over in the summer. I've worked out at a country club the last 2 summers. And it's mainly, right now I'm working, like I said, I'm working for the money because I'm putting it toward my schooling. I guess I'm making a compromise on what kind of work I'm doing. That's why I figure next year I'd like to look into, as I said, I see, you know, people in my class that are working for advertising agencies or for magazines or whatever. That's something I'd like to get a job that's related to my field next year, and not worry so much about how much money I'm making.
Well, that should do it. And could you, just in case I didn't get your name, I'm pretty sure I did, but if you could just say your full name again.
Full name is Kenneth Daniel Webster.
Okay, that's the end of the interview.